Welcome to Uprising. Each episode looks inside what it takes to lead the most dynamic and successful cultural movements. Some of them in the business world, some in the social realm, some in politics, and some in between. To see why people start uprisings. What gives those initiatives momentum and keeps them going? And most important, what lessons can you learn from these movements and how to apply them to your business and even personal life? Let's explore the secret to sparking movements that move people into action.
Passionate ideas.
Controversial ideas.
Uprising ideas.
The power is now in the hands of anyone.
To start a cultural movement.
Your movement.
To move the world.
Hello, I'm Scott Goodson. Donald Trump made a decision to do something that is almost as old as the United States of America. He began the quest to become the president. It has been a campaign unlike anything we've seen before. He's psyched out his opponents. He's outwitted the GOP. He's ignited a massive movement of followers across the country that continues to gain steam, feeding off fears and insecurities. At last reckoning, he seems unstoppable. Donald Trump, love him, hate him, what can we learn from him? Hundreds of thousands of people, men, women, and children, are landing on the southern shores of Greece in rubber rafts in freezing weather conditions. Daniel Butin, the head of Afia Foundation, was on the beach helping these people last week. Danielle, what do you make of the Trump movement?
Much of what we are seeing is really driven by a lack of understanding and just fear, Scott. People are scared of what they don't know and what they don't understand. And, you know, what makes perfect sense when you're scared for some of us is to go seek out that monster and figure it out and see if it's real or if it's not, but not to just sit in those beliefs and not to just sit in those thoughts and make them real. So, you know, when people have said we're doing an enormous amount of work now in Lesbos, Greece, helping the Greeks running facilities, helping the Coast Guard, because they not only have their own citizens to care for, but they also have thousands of refugees arriving every single day. And when I hear people saying these are the next generation of terrorists, I can't even believe this is what comes out of people's mouths. I saw mothers getting off of boats holding three or four of their children. These are suburban women out of Damascus who have put every dime they've got into their bra so that it is in safekeeping and they can begin their next iteration of a lifetime. You know, I don't know what a terrorist really looks like in that scenario. And it is an atrocity to me that that is what people are labeling this group as and are suspect of.
Do you think that there is a change going on in our society where we, yes, we have a lot of really bad things happening, but there's an increasing desire among some people to protect themselves first?
When people are scared, they can enter a number of different states. And I think one is a hypervigilance and a sense or a false sense and perception of control. So when people are scared, they can lock in. I think this false perception that one can control the chaos is it's not rational. It's not real. The best solution for people when they are in that state, as opposed to trying to control and to build walls and to keep people away, is to sit in the middle of that circle and take a look at it and get to know the people in that circle and ask a lot of questions. And through that process, amazing comfort can be delivered because it's the truth. So many are responding to what is perceived as real, and I don't think it is.
In order to rally people in a movement, you have to create a sense of fear and a sense of urgency and, of course, an enemy. And that obviously is what Trump is doing when he comes up with a list of enemies like Mexicans or Muslims. What are the repercussions when you create enemies?
It creates an enormous clash because there's light and dark, you know, there's hate and love, there's this dichotomy of existence that occurs. And we saw it in Greece. We went to Lesbos And we saw these citizens of Lesbos welcoming every single refugee, thousands of them every single day, with water, with food, with blankets, with love, and with care. And they said, we are one, we are the same, there is no separation here. And they eat, breathe, and sleep that motto and believe in it implicitly. So you juxtapose that against people who are creating huge followings around hate towards this population, false rhetoric, beliefs that aren't real, and these refugees are as scared to death of the hate that potentially awaits them as they are of the countries they've just fled. So to superimpose the recovery these folks have against them, against this movement of hate and a lack of inclusion, is insanity in terms of the challenges that they have ahead. So you have this chasm. You have this chasm that's ultimately created between those who just don't believe in it and fight the movement because they know there's a greater truth, versus those who are just spreading hate through false beliefs. It has an impact on the people's well-being. It has an impact on their ability to look you in the eye. I was so struck by this when I met people getting off the boats. In the beginning, eyes were dropped down. Like, they had no idea how they were going to be received until you threw someone in your arms and you threw a blanket around them and you smiled and you held their baby. They had no idea what they were about to be entering there. And that's just heartbreaking.
Are we going to see the type of, you know, let's say anti-movement or competitive movement that's going to stand up to this quite strong phenomenon that's building?
I think here it can be so extreme. You have to see a consequence in a different direction that could be equally extreme. I have noticed big, big reactions in women who I work with and I have personal relationships with in taking a stand that I haven't seen them this strong in years. I think once people are in the right scenario and they start asking questions, they start having open discussions, some very interesting changes occur organically, because it is through that unleashing of a process where people can speak and really uncover the truth is where they really find it. Once you sit with that and you really imagine what this would feel like for people, you can't support it.
It's almost like the rise of anti-intellectualism, anti-empathy, which to me seems like quite a scary movement.
I see the other end of the spectrum. And when I am exposed to those who are the opposite, I am very confused by it.
But I wonder whether this is in fact an evil scourge, or whether it's actually just a collective reflection of where American society is going.
There is a calling for control and safety, and I almost see it as like this big, heavy blanket to rest under. I think for people who are frustrated and for people who are desperate to find other like-minded people who live in a place of empathy and compassion, they exist. It's important to build that community and to live in that community.
That was Daniel Buten from the AFYAFoundation.org. That's A-F-Y-A foundation.org. Thank you for joining our uprising today and listening to our show. If you missed the show, or if you want to find out more about who was on, or if you want to learn more about how to create your own uprising, please go to uprisingmovements.com. You can also download this uprising program from iTunes. Uprising was produced by Nicola Keneally and Adam Helen, with special help from Melanie Boardman, Karin Drakenberg, Philippa Freeman, Brianna Campbell, Fashad Faroudi, Mark Bruzzi, Will Isom, James Politi, and Jonathan Weeks. A special thank you to the head of AFYA Foundation, Daniel Buten. My name is Scott Goodson, and you've been listening to Uprising. What we can learn about movements and uprisings that are shaping our world in business, in society, and in between. For more on cultural movements and movement marketing, be sure to pick up a copy of the best-selling book Uprising, How to Build a Brand and Change the World by Sparking Cultural Movements, available on Amazon.com.
Music for Uprising composed by Charles Duchateau.